COVID-19 has touched every corner of the globe. The virus carries no racial bias in what it does inside the human body, but we are seeing statistics about the disproportionate toll on Black and Latino people across the U.S. What's the situation in the rest of the world? Health advocates say that's an important question, one that's difficult to answer. The world's Rupa Shenoy explains.
In the last few days, shaky cell phone video has emerged of the first hospital in Brazil to be overwhelmed with coronavirus patients. It's in Amazonas State, where many indigenous people live and where there are more than 2,000 COVID-19 cases. Doctors have complained about a lack of ventilators and protective gear. The video shows corpses lying on beds next to patients receiving care.
There are bodies of people who already died. They are on the corridors, on the halls of this hospital, waiting to be processed.
Tiago Amparo is a lawyer and professor in Sao Paulo, the epicenter of Brazil's coronavirus outbreak. He's been examining new numbers released by the Brazilian government about the demographics of coronavirus patients. He's seeing a disproportionate impact on indigenous people and a pattern that's also been evident in the U.S.
The number of Black people that die because coronavirus is larger than the white people.
Anyone can get the coronavirus, but there appear to be dramatic disparities in who actually dies from the disease. Amparo says that's clear, even though many Brazilian COVID-19 patients are listed as race unknown.
I'm pretty sure that most of those people whose race are not identified are Black.
That's because the number of cases is growing in poor communities where most people are Black. They depend on the struggling public health system, while richer people have access to private hospitals.
It's not a coincidence because, of course, we had 300 years of slavery.
Like the U.S., Brazil enslaved millions of Africans and their descendants for hundreds of years, and afterward allowed systemic inequalities to continue. Black people in Brazil are overrepresented in prison populations and face police brutality. They're more likely to have pre-existing health conditions because of a lack of access to healthy foods, or because their families lived in areas without basic sanitation or in communities exposed to pollution. Many have jobs like housekeepers and bus drivers where social distancing is difficult. Yet Amparo says Brazil has resisted examining its racial disparities.
We are actually very far from being able to take race seriously and to see race as an important factor.
Amparo is part of a coalition of major Black organizations in Brazil petitioning the government to require collection of racial data for coronavirus patients.
My fear is that as it goes on, this will become like an invisible disease that we are not going to actually document it and try to fight back.
That's a fear shared by many across the world. A growing chorus of advocates is urgently calling for governments to take steps amid the COVID-19 pandemic to document racial information. Shilpa Venkateshwaram is with the Global Healthy Living Foundation.
We can't fix a problem that we refuse to acknowledge exists.
Not only should countries be systematically collecting racial data, Venkateshwaram says they should be collecting it in a standardized way so it can be shared with other countries.
We're a globalized world. We have to start sharing data in the interest of our communities so that we can advance our understanding of what inequalities exist in countries and also across countries.
But many countries are far from that goal. In the UK, there's evidence that people from Black, Asian, and minority ethnic backgrounds, or BAME, are overrepresented in critical care units and among health workers who have died. Still, hospitals aren't required to record patients' ethnic information. The British Medical Society called the lack of racial data on coronavirus patients a scandal, prompting this announcement a few days ago from Communities Secretary Robert Jenrick.
There does appear to be a disproportionate impact of the virus upon BME communities. And it's right that we do thorough research swiftly so that we can better understand it and then take any action that is required.
Taking action is the key, says Dr. Farah Shroff of the University of British Columbia.
It can't just be about data alone. That doesn't necessarily translate into programs that make a huge difference for communities of color.
Shroff says governments need to partner with minority community leaders to ask patients specific questions about language, cultural barriers, housing, income, employment, neighborhoods, to find out how healthcare systems should change and then make those changes. She points out that Canada has done that in the past, but thus far some Canadian provincial officials have said they have to prioritize tracking patients' ages and chronic illnesses rather than racial data. Shroff hopes they change their minds.
It can't just be enough to say racism is bad for us. That's old hat. We know that. We've got to move beyond that and really change.
Vulnerable populations have reason to be skeptical that that change will really come. Alison Tedford is an Indigenous writer and patient advocate in British Columbia.
Well, historically, we've had things like allegations of coerced sterilization. We've had birth alerts where healthcare professionals notify Child Protective Services when Indigenous children are born. There's a lot of reasons to not have a lot of trust.
Governments could take the first step in changing that by documenting the racial disparities in the impact of COVID-19. For The World, I'm Rupa Shenoy.